listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ClevelandBrowns.com is your most trusted source for Browns news, plus the latest photos and videos straight from the source. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for everything Browns. That's ClevelandBrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci with you, general manager of the Browns. Ray Farmer will be joining us shortly here as we finish out the show. But in the meantime, we do have time to take your calls, 216-578-0850, and answer some tweets because it is Mailbag Wednesday. And Vic, I'll throw one for you here from the Mailbag Wednesday as well. Right now, when you look at this team and you look at this roster, this is an interesting question from GoAndy3308. What do you think the position breakdown of the 53 will be based on Pettine's scheme in terms of the number of running backs, in terms of number of receivers, linebackers, et cetera? How do you think this will break down? Will it be any different from what we saw last year?
That is a great question. I would anticipate this is a running back heavy offensive roster. I think you're going to see great opportunities. First of all, we know about Ben Tate. We believe Terrence West, you know, let's look at it right now, that the two of them would be obviously the first two. Plus, then there's room for other people. And, you know, we've brought up Crowell, a guy that you've liked a lot. And if he, again, that whole if he's on the straight and narrow, blah, blah, blah. But I think for sure you're seeing – I think Chris Obanaya has a chance. It'll be interesting to see how this works out, because after the first two, the first three who are true kind of committee running backs, after that is maybe your fullback hybrid guy. So I'm thinking it's four players at the minimum at the position, with, say, three being truer halfbacks and the fourth being more of a fullback. What do you think of that?
I think that that's very possible. I think that you're going to get, like you said, three. It's interesting, though, when you go back to Washington, they always had a lot of depth at running back. They had a lot of guys in there who could play, you know, obviously running back. They had one fullback. I think there will be one fullback. I think we will have a legitimate fullback, and maybe you'll get the hybrid fullback coming from the tight end position. Maybe Marquise Gray could slide in that H-back spot.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting. I do expect multiple tight ends. All right, we're going to have the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, joining us as he makes his way into the CBD studios right now.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
All right. Hello, Ray Farmer. Good to have you with us.
What are we talking today?
It's good. What do you want to talk about?
Anything you want to talk about with that T-shirt on, with the big man? That's a nasty
I like those new strength T-shirts, by the way. Yeah, those are sweet.
With a barbell in its mouth. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Ready to work.
What are you benching these days, Ray?
Not as much as I used to, but I'm still think I'm stronger than the average guy.
All right. I like that. So, Ray, we're just talking about, first of all, big picture roster. Now that we're past the draft and free agency, how much, and you, I know you just made an addition, and basically it seems like every other day you got to keep on your toes because things are happening with this roster, but how much of what we have together here would you honestly say represents what you'll take to camp? Because we all know last year there was a lot of turnover this roster in that final week before the season. So what are you looking at this time around?
Same thing. I think the premise from my perspective is really to drive competition and to constantly look at how to drive more and more competition at each position. So if there's a guy out there on the street, if there's a guy that gets cut from another roster, naturally there's always going to be a pecking order. There's going to be guys at the top end, there's going to be guys at the lower end. And if you can flop a guy at the lower end that you think can compete and be a little bit higher up on the scale, you'll do that. And so I think that's what we're really focused on.
Speaking of competition, what are some of the competitions, position battles that you are looking forward to the most now that you've gotten the roster assembled the way that you have here headed into the camps?
All of them. I mean, it seems like the easy generic answer, but it really is. I think for the first time kind of putting a roster together, I'm just excited to see what that produces. And I know what the players can do individually. I know what their skill sets equate them to, but inevitably they got to come together and gel as a unit. And as you see those individual battles start to kind of unfold in front of all of us, we'll start to understand really precisely who are the guys that we should be counting on, who can we rely on, and who those guys would be to step up. But there's enough battles on this roster that I think that there's going to be a lot of competition for spots, specifically starting spots.
Ray, I saw an item somewhere yesterday or in the last 2 days about how many more draft picks are being signed this time of year ahead of maybe pace before, and I saw a percentage. It was above 25%, something like that, league-wide. Haven't seen any Browns of the draft picks signed by the Browns. Where do we stand with that, and is there any sort of trend that is happening maybe elsewhere in the league that you don't care about, or are we seeing something that the Browns are going to be a part of trend-wise?
I think the Browns are going to be a part of that trend as well. I think the easiest thing now is that you can start to really recognize that because of the rookie wage scale, these really aren't difficult negotiations or difficult contracts to come to agreements on. So as guys get filled up, it seems like the oddball round for all of it is the third and fourth round, where the contracts get a little bit questionable, but everybody else seems to get slotted in, get a little bit less than the guy in front of you, a little more than the guy behind you, and you go on down the road. Somehow that somehow gets confused in the middle. Why, I don't know, but we'll work those out. But I have definitely seen a lot of teams sign, if not all, a lot of their draft picks early on.
Ray, now that you've been through your first draft, kind of how, as you reflect on it, what was that experience like for you, and how are you feeling about the way that you went through the draft and with all the undrafted free agents that have been brought in and some of the veterans signed recently, just kind of the last 2 weeks?
The last 2 weeks have been really good for me. Now that we're past the draft, you feel like you can breathe and try to get back to some sort of normalcy of life. But
sure, the family's happy about that.
The family's happy, and probably not as happy as they would be if I didn't still spend all my waking hours in this building. But I do think that it's, from my perspective, I was happy with the way it came out. I guess theoretically or philosophy, you come up with your own philosophy or strategy, and then people challenge it. And as you go through those challenges, there's going to be pushback. There's going to be noise. There's going to be all this other information that you get that before I would tell you I never really concerned myself or was consumed by the amount of information that was out there just floating around. But a good book that was shared with me is called The Signal and the Noise, and how to focus back in on what's really the inherent part of what you're trying to accomplish. And between Pet and myself and the symbiotic relationship that we have has really allowed me to stay focused on this is how we want to build this football team. Here are the pieces that are important, and then focus on that is what led to the results that we've generated so far.
Speaking of noise, a lot of it concerning Johnny Manziel, and the national media was very vocal in not being able to get with him this past weekend. Of course, today's media availability was wide open, and there were two national outlets, NFL Network and ESPN, but nobody else really that I could see, and after a lot of clamor about that. But that all said, managing the attraction that is him and all that goes with it media-wise and looking ahead to training camp, the anticipation there'll be a lot of extra numbers there and so forth. Give me a sense of how that's being handled organizationally.
Organizationally, I think it's pretty standard. We originally talked about, again, closing the doors to rookie minicamp just in general, letting our rookies hit the field and concentrate on football. We then made a decision to try to allow our local media in, and it somewhat backfired. National media wasn't so excited about that opportunity, but we definitely thought it was a good thing for our local people to have access in a way that no one else did. Moving forward, we'll just be open. Our doors will be open. Zach will manage that, who's our PR director here. He'll take care of who's coming in, credentials, et cetera, and it'll just be a normal training camp. It'll be a normal process. There may be more people, and that's okay, but I guess the easiest way to say it is that Johnny has no problem dealing with the media.
Right.
He's dealt with it.
He's very comfortable.
He's
not
very new. Comfortable. It's not new for him. I mean, he's handled all of these situations like a pro because he's had to be a pro starting earlier in his career than most guys have. That being said, I think when we look at Johnny, I have no hesitation, fear, worry, concern, et cetera, about how he's going to interact in front of the media. And I think that's the easiest part. Johnny can handle it, and it's not a big deal. Handling the crowds would be another thing. We probably should work on security.
Ray, this rookie class is always going to be special to you because it was your first rookie class. And the six guys that were brought in via the draft, I had an opportunity to sit down with some of them. There's going to be the rookie spotlight on WKYC this Saturday at 7 p.m. on Channel 3. And what really came across in getting to have some one-on-one time with these guys is not only did the Browns draft quality football players, but quality individuals, guys who have unique stories, leadership qualities, guys who have overcome adversity in their journey to get here. How important was that component of it, of the player in your evaluation of them to become Cleveland Browns?
I think it's very important. I think we want to establish leadership. We want to establish guys that can affect the group and the crowd. Again, we always talk about creating a culture is really about the people that you involve in that process. So to us, if you want to maintain a certain temperament, we want to create a certain culture, we want to have a certain vibe around our team, we want guys that both have experienced that, like you said, those type of heartaches and hardships, but have also come through it on the other end. You know, anytime you talk about the process of, you know, galvanizing or refining, there comes a part where you got to add some heat or you got to add some things to make that really become what it is. So if you look at gold, you got to melt it down to get the shiny product at the end. Some of these guys already had some heat in their lives, and it's given them now a different temperament to where they can really shine. So from my perspective and our perspective, as we looked at it as a scouting department, it holds a lot of weight in my mind for the guys that have had some adversity, some hardship in their backgrounds, but nevertheless, they've demonstrated they can overcome and they can continue to be leaders beyond that.
You've added several new receivers, Miles Austin, Earl Bennett, Anthony Armstrong, to name a few who are aboard with some experience. Give me a sense, A, of how you see them all fitting in and what their contribution expectation is from you, and B, are you done with addressing receiver for the most part?
I'll go B first. No, we're not done. It's never done. I think there's not a day that we rest on where we're at. Any guy that's available, any guy that gets cut, any guy that's a potential trade opportunity, we'll exhaust all those resources to make sure that we're finding the right guys to continue to drive that competition. We'll continue to look at the guys that are here, and everybody's been given an opportunity. I think that's one of the things that I'm really big on right now is there's guys on this roster that people may not know that I think have a chance to be legitimate players in this league. And as we look at those, that list of names, and we look at the guys that are on this roster, I feel good about some of the young guys that are here that are demonstrating they can run the routes, that are demonstrating they can catch the ball, that are demonstrating they can learn the information to getting their opportunity and then going forward with it. I said this name before, and I can harp on other ones, but this guy seems to be the easiest one because most fans can recognize the name, is Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz is a college free agent who wasn't really the guy in college. He was the guy playing next to the guy. The guy that played next to him was a kid by the name of Jeremy Horn. Now, both kids were free agents. One guy blossomed, the other guy didn't. Now, the question becomes then, was it because he got an opportunity and the other guy didn't? But in the end of the day, you gave the guy a chance. He demonstrated he could play, and now they reap the reward of that.
And you did bring in four undrafted free agents at the wide receiver position and then signed following the rookie minicamp Taylor Gabriel from Abilene Christian as well. Of those young guys, has anybody stood out to you at this point as somebody that really has impressed you with their early play in the camps?
I think they've all been better than I would have naturally just said just watching the tape. When I watched some of the game tape on these guys, you say, you know what, he's got a shot. He has a chance. And then you watch them kind of battle it out in rookie camp and you say, okay, this guy has some traits, this guy has some traits. And I don't know if any of those guys are elite players. I wouldn't say that, but I definitely like what they're doing. They're all competing. They're all pushing themselves to be better. And I think the thing that really stands out to me is that they're all naturally competitive. And I think that's another piece of the puzzle that we really focus on and hone in on is making sure that we got the right guys from a competitive standpoint, guys that take it by take that bit, grab onto it, and they're not going to let it go. That bulldog mentality of, hey, coach, there's a rep to steal and just jumps in. Those are the guys that you want because they're going to demonstrate that when it comes time to stand up and the people are in the crowd and you can smell the popcorn, they're going to be excited about those opportunities and try to jump at the bit to get them.
From an evaluative standpoint, does it mean anything that, for instance, Johnny Manziel works with the third unit at quarterback and at times Tyler Thigpen is working with the ones, even though Brian Hoyer eventually was the guy with the ones, and other guys that you saw as starters not working with ones, guys like, in rookies, Justin Gilbert not working with the ones. What does that mean from an evaluative standpoint, if anything, in May when these guys are with the backup groups?
It's a part of the process. I mean, at any point in time, you've got to demonstrate your wares. So if you are working with what some people say is not the first-round crew or the legitimate guys or the first starters or whatever that is, if you're working in a backup capacity, then what is your competitive level there? Are you dominating your competition? Are you demonstrating that you're worthy of first-team reps? Are you demonstrating that you're worthy of moving in front of the guy in front of you? If you demonstrate those things on a day-to-day basis, you'll get those next opportunities. You got to add in a level of consistency to your performance for everybody to really take note. It's always been told to me that greatness is not just something that you add in this one piece and you become great. Greatness is the consistency of good. And the more you consistently become good and you keep adding that in after day after day is when you achieve greatness.
Let's talk about the top two picks, Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel. What have you seen from them thus far in the early going in their development as members of the Cleveland Browns?
The biggest development for me is the way all of these guys have attacked the meetings. I won't just single those guys out. I think that the best thing for me is that these guys are going to meetings with questions, with ideas, with trying to figure out, okay, what do I need to learn? Who can I buddy up with? What can I get that's extra? Spending the time in the weight room, spending the time in the classroom, not just coming off the field and not being a part of it, but being in the coach's ear. Hey, what did he see? What was that? Talking to another one of the veteran quarterbacks as to, why did he do that? What did you know? How did you know to go here? All of those pieces add up to really a guy demonstrating that he wants to be great, not just good. The guy that's going to be good, he just stands around like everybody else and he watches and it is what it is. But trying to get that extra nugget to me is when you see a guy really trying to unearth his real qualities.
And it's interesting how you point that out, Ray, because there is, you know, a division of responsibilities. The head coach coaches, the general manager does his thing, and yet you bring in that insight of how they're operating in meetings. That tells me a couple things. It's telling me you are communicating very closely with this coaching staff. You're making observations of your own being around this building. Just talk about that, how you are making sure that this isn't a case where, all right, we picked them, you coach them. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way at all. I think that Pett and I definitely have been in communication with regards to what they're doing, the amount of information they've been given, where the coaches are, and having those conversations to me, be it something simple and generic in the cafeteria to more of a sit-down meeting venue, it definitely leads to more insight to the player. We're never done with the evaluation process of where the player is. I'll give you another tidbit in the sense of when you go to games, people always talk about you go to whatever game, the Texas A&M Alabama game. So I attend that game, and there's a lot of prospects on the field, and people are watching the game, and they're excited about what's happening on the field, and that's a piece of it. But I'll spend a good portion of my time watching the guy's interactions on the sideline. Who is he when he's off to the field? What is he when he's around his teammates? What is he after they turn the ball over? What is he after he made a big play? And if you watch those interactions independent of, oh, man, he made a great play, what was the response after that? Was he cool, calm, and collected? You know, was he exuberant? You know, what was he when he came to the sideline? If he did throw an interception or he made a big play or he missed a tackle, whatever those instances were, what's the kid's mindset moving forward? And then as you watch all of those interactions, they'll get paint a clearer picture as to who he really is.
And you can see it this Sunday, this Saturday at 7 p.m., the rookie spotlight. You got a lot of quality individuals. One question we do have to ask, you talked about the wide receiver position. We're not done. Obviously, the kind of elephant in the room is the Josh Gordon thing. Any update on a time frame in terms of when we will know one way or the other what's happening with Josh Gordon?
The process is underway, is the best I can tell you. And when they tell me, I'll tell you. And you may find out before me, so if you find out, call me.
I will let you know. But is that I'll hit you up.
Ray, is that uncertainty unsettling for you in this organization? It is for us. I'm just letting you know. But how about for you guys?
I would say that from my perspective, it's always, I guess, a question mark when you could be missing a player the caliber of Josh Gordon. But regardless of what that looks like or what it could potentially be, it doesn't change the role or the factors of what I have to accomplish, which is continue to add talent to this team, continue to add players to this roster that regardless of who's missing, we can function and be successful. That's what good teams do. It's no different than I go back to the San Francisco 49ers. Michael Crabtree comes into the league and he's going to miss significant time.
Right.
You know he may miss some time. He may not miss some time. He may end up missing more time. He may not be exactly – you know, Michael Crabtree that they drafted, they thought was going to be the player he wanted to be his rookie year.
Right.
But in essence, they got to add players consistently that then take them to the next level. And then if we can operate where we have enough players on our roster that I don't want to say any, like no one matters if they're in the lineup or they're not in the lineup, we have enough players to circumvent and play without them, that's what we want to get to.
Right, final one for me. What do you want now that the draft is over? What's your number one goal for
sleep.
This roster?
Sleep.
Not for you, yes.
Oh, okay.
Well deserved for you to get some sleep. But for this roster over the course of the summer, between now and between the start of the season, what's your ultimate goal for this roster?
My goal is for everybody to really take on the vision and the dedication and the purpose that the coaching staff is setting forward, which is to win. I want guys to understand what it takes to achieve that uncommon goal. There's a saying in the team room about to achieve something that's never been done, you got to be willing to do something that's never been done. You got to take guys out of that comfort zone of let's just survive and I'm happy to be in the National Football League and let's come together as a unit, set a goal, and let's achieve it.
Love that.
Thank you so much.
That's a great and powerful message. When are you going to get to sleep? You got too many weights to lift.
You've earned some.
I don't know. I don't sleep much anyway. It's funny. I get home last night. I call myself going home at a decent hour. I go to dinner with my wife, and then before you know it, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm still sitting up.
Because you're watching, the practice tape and everything, right? You've got all that to pour through every day.
Watch the practice tape. Watch the waiver wire. If there's a guy's name that I don't recognize, go back and watch him, figure out who he is, write it up, figure it out. It's a labor of love. The good thing is I haven't had a real job yet, so I'm excited.
Always great. Hey, we joined that club, too. Always grinding. Ray, thank you
so
much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Ray Farmer, the general manager of the Browns, joining us, and we appreciate the fact that he was here. We appreciate the fact that you were with us. We thank our producers, Casey Koulos, for being on the board today. Of course, Jason Gibbs, our regular, and keeping this thing rolling on. And we are going to be with you again tomorrow. By the way, Julian Gerard is coming up next, so stay tuned for that. But we will be back with you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.